the four chapter gospel. And the reason we've been emphasizing these four movements of the good news is to kind of help us see the good news for all that it is. And so we started with chapter one, and that being creation, the story of creation, the fact that we were made in the image of God. That makes us God-like, right? That's the idea of this being made in his image. And that gives us, right off the bat, no questions asked. We don't have to do anything. We have dignity and worth that is just inherent in who we are and how we were made. And one of the things that I remember us talking about that first week was just us asking the question, how often do we think about that and how often does that make it into the way that we go about our days? The way that we think about ourselves, the way we receive information from other people, et cetera, that we were made in his image, that we have dignity and worth that just cannot be altered or changed by any circumstance. That God made us on purpose with a purpose. And we looked into creation and how he called us to steward creation, to give names to the animals, to bring order to the garden, etc., to create an environment where life could flourish. We have a purpose. We were created with a purpose, and we were created in and with and for intimacy. This beautiful idea of nothing between us and God, nothing between us and ourselves, the ability to understand ourselves and to actually love ourselves the way that we are. Nothing between us and others. How we were made. And then the second chapter, the fall, how the choice that we made and how sin came in through that choice and altered everything. It called into question our dignity. It called into question our God-likeness and kind of put this dirty film over everything where we began to question who we were. And that made it no longer safe, right, for us to be with other people, even with God. Remember part of the story where God comes to spend time with his people, and they were afraid, and so they hid, right? So this sense that the fall brings into us this sense of shame, this calling into question of our dignity, of our worth, of this emotion now that we carry around called fear, and our strategy of coping with it called hiding. The masks that we wear with each other, with ourselves, the way that we separate ourselves now from one another, the opposite of what he intended to be. Then last week, our dear sister Mallory, I listened to the message on the way home from Canada. Oh my goodness. A beautiful description of the way things could be, how Jesus came and made a way for vulnerability to be safe once more, right? A redeeming, a purchasing back from the bondage of sin, from being enslaved to that version of reality, to that worldview, where we can begin to trust and hope that God is who he says he is, and even more, that we are who God says that we are. And this hope brings a power to us. Such an amazing part of the conversation last week, I thought, when Mallory said that hope brings power, and it's the power of God in our lives. Once again, having been separated from all of that through that second chapter part of the story, the fall, having been removed from a consistent intimacy with God where we just live in his power, where we live in this atmosphere of love in which life flourishes, now hope brings us power to live in that way once again. And it leads us to this week, to this part of the story, and it's the fourth chapter in this four-chapter gospel, and I would say it's part, for me, it's just as amazing as the other chapters, and it really brings the whole thing into this bigger picture awareness of how good the good news is. So we're going to jump into this idea of restoration. Restoration. How many of you have ever seen some of those TV shows where they restore old cars? Yeah? Here's the car. It's not the way that it once was. Some of you have lived the TV show, I know from some of your stories, or the boat, or the house, right? It's not the way that it once was. It's not the way that it could be, but with the work and the effort that's put in there, right, it's put back the way that it was intended to be in all of its glory, right? I've had the opportunity to work on some restorations, do some woodwork in some old cars, and it's an honor and a privilege, right, to see this thing put back the way that it was supposed to be. And it really is about a dream, right? If you own one of those cars or those houses or those boats or whatever it is, it's about this vision that you have in your mind's eye of what it's supposed to be like. And this fourth chapter called Restoration really puts us back in this place of capturing the vision of God for us. The way that we were meant to be in the beginning, the way creation was intended to be from the start, right? It's what he has in his mind's eye for you and for me. And so to see this picture, we're going to fast forward all the way to the end of the story. Those of you that have heard me speak before, I often come to this image in Scripture for a whole range of things, but I think it fits so perfectly with this idea of restoration. So we're going to go to Revelation 21, 1 through 5, and we're going to see some places in here that are going to remind us of all the other chapters and sort of bring a period to the, an exclamation point to the end of this story. So here we are. This is the second to last chapter of the Scriptures that we have, right? And it's this way of describing this dream that God has for us. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And if we could just stop right there, there's a couple of things in there that just need a little bit of explanation. One of the questions that people ask me when they read this is, what's up with the sea? We love the sea. The sea's beautiful. Why isn't there any more sea? So really quick, you need to know that in the culture of the writer of this text, the Hebrew culture, that bad things come from the sea. This is all darkness and evil. Somehow the sea is in their culture, this place where it comes from. So if we want to take a step back and understand how this fits in the story of restoration, imagine that not only is evil not going to be present, but the place where it could possibly come from is no longer around. You catch the significance of this part of the story? It's gone. No chance of coming back. The first earth, a new heaven and a new earth, because the first ones had passed away. The way that they were intended to be, right, chapter 1, has ceased. Chapter 2, the fall. We just described it again. It's not the way it's supposed to be. And so in the original language here, in the Greek language that this text is written in, we often translate it as it's a new heaven and a new earth, but in the original language, it's actually renewed heaven and renewed earth. So it fits into this idea of putting things back the way they're supposed to be. Imagine, right? The old car, the boat, the house, the fixer-upper. The original intention of it, the way it was supposed to be, has passed away. That's no longer the reality. So now here we are. We're about to experience the restoration process to put it back the way it's supposed to be. A renewed heaven and a renewed earth. Restoration right here at the top, at the headline, at the banner of the dream of God for his creation. Let's jump to the next slide. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband. We could talk about this forever, and we will, as long as I'm around to have spiritual conversations with you. The power of this part of the dream of God for creation is, I can't even get my arms all the way around it, my mind all the way wrapped around it. But here's the deal. This is an image of the church. The church is described in Scripture as the bride. Right, we can talk all the theological loops and ways that this all fits together, but the church is the bride. And here in the final picture of the way things are going to be, we see the church as the new Jerusalem, the holy city. Now, if we remember anything about church history or the history of the coming together of the people of God, Jerusalem is the capital of the nation of Israel. So you want to talk about our identity and our dignity and who we are and our inherent worth. While that was broken in chapter 2, here in chapter 4, right here in this section, you see a restoration of our identity. You see a restoration of who we are. We were made godlike. Chapter 1. Here in chapter 4, the church together is the capital of the kingdom of heaven. Not a geographic locality, but wherever the rule and the reign and the power and the authority and the restoring work of God is submitted to. That is who we are. And wherever it is that we are submitted to God, the restoring work of God is present. His power is present. And all the lies of the fall of chapter 2 begin to fall off when we begin to reclaim our identity as the ones through whom the reign of God proceeds out to the rest of creation. The culture and the values of the kingdom of heaven are embedded in who we are by the power of God's Spirit. And when we live the way of God, we are restorers. We are restorers of creation. We're restorers of relationships. We're the restorers of those that have been oppressed. When we live that way, do you see how our identity, the way that we are created, it leads to our purpose? Created with dignity in the image of God, created for a purpose to bring order to creation, to create a context of love, love being the environment through which life flourishes. And here we are back at the end of the story where God is giving us this image, showing us a picture of his dream for us. It puts us right back where we're supposed to be, right back in the heart of life with him, through which he is putting all things back. You see, when we submit to his will, when we walk in his way, we live in the kingdom of heaven. Now, this story was generally regarded as the thing that happens at the end, and that's an acceptable way to understand it. The issue with that, though, is when Jesus came, we have a record of him saying in several different places, in several different ways, that the kingdom of heaven now is here, and it's now. And so those cultures and those values and the rule and the reign of God is now here to be lived into now, not then. And so what we have here is this picture of everything being perfectly restored, renewed. But in the meantime, we have work to do. Dignity, identity, and purpose. We have work to do. Next slide, please. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. He will dwell with them. They will be his people, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes." If you've ever had a tear wiped away from your eyes, what's the relationship that you have with the person that did that? Stranger? Acquaintance? Who do you let get that close? What was that? Someone we love, and even more than that, someone that we trust and know loves us. And so here in this picture of God's dream for us, we see a restoration of the thing that was broken the most, and that was intimacy. All of Scripture is this story about the creation of life, the compromise and the diminishment of life, and then the redemption of life. And now here we are seeing life being put back the way that it's supposed to be in this atmosphere of love. This place where intimacy is the highest priority. Where God, at the end of chapter 2, had to escort us out of that place of intimacy because of our choices. Because of the fallenness of all of creation and the curses that we inherited because of that. And now here at the end, we see God saying, "No, here, listen, these promises I've been making throughout all of time. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of your granddad and your dad, and I'm your God. I am here, I am now, I am present, and there's nothing that has to come between us anymore. Nothing that has to come between us anymore. What Jesus did in his redeeming work, he made a way. He put to death guilt and shame. There's no more reason to fear. For the old order of things has passed away, and there's no more sea. There isn't even a place for fear to come from anymore as God continues this restoring work. And this exciting conclusion of this four-chapter gospel, we see everything that was affected by the fall renewed. Everything that was broken restored and put back the way that it was supposed to be. You go to the next slide. No more death, no more mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making everything new. I am renewing everything." The God of the universe says to us. If you haven't caught this part of the story before, it can be a little foreign to you. One of the things that I want to make sure we hear clearly before I invite my friends to come up and tell us about what Jesus is doing in them and through them to bring restoration to the world around them, I want to make sure you hear this. In the picture that God has for creation, this creation that he said was very good, this creation that he created with dignity and with purpose and with intimacy, he doesn't throw it away. This is why the chapter called Restoration is so critical, and we've missed it a lot in the last couple hundred years in the Western church. We have this sense that when this life is over, we fly away. We go to heaven, and heaven is a wonderful place. All the songs we used to sing in camp. And these things, true. But in the final restoration, when everything is renewed, the New Jerusalem, the holy city, the bride, beautifully dressed for her husband, comes down to the renewed earth. Do you see this? And so while we can say and we can think and we can hope and we can trust that if we pass or if loved ones pass away, they go to be with Jesus in a place called heaven, but the full story doesn't have us there for eternity. It has us here in creation and in a creation that's been put back the way it was intended to be in the first place. And when we grasp that part of the story, changes how we think about who we are right here and right now. If we are the capital of the kingdom of heaven and we have work to do, it is a work that is restoring, it is a work that is putting back, it is a work that is respecting the desires of our Creator that embraces the dream that He has for His creation. Jonathan and Gemma and their family have been a part of Five Stones while they were here in Ashland going to seminary. And I just got to be a little bit on the end of that and see how everybody loved them and kind of how the life of this church got wrapped around their life and their ministry and their mission. I was here when we sent them to where God has them now. And it's kind of an amazing sense. Again, if we're embedding this in this story, this four-chapter story, it's an amazing sense for any local congregation to be able to lay hands on a family and say, we hear what God is saying to you too, and we affirm it, and we send you with our blessing, we send you with our prayers, and we send you in the name of Jesus to live out that fourth chapter in the place that you are going to. And so Five Stones Community Church supports their ministry, the ministry of their family there in the Catalan region of Spain. And their ministry is as much a part of our ministry as our ministry is a part of theirs. They are just as much the capital of the kingdom of heaven as we are. They're restoring work the same as ours. They're working a different place than we have been called to. And so I want you to come up now. They're going to share with us an update of the restoring work of God in them and through them to the people they've been called to serve. I have a microphone for you. Should I give it to her first?
She's going to talk first.
She's going to talk first? All right. All right.
Oh, it's so good to be here. It's just amazing to be here with you all. We were sitting there where we used to sit a year and a half ago, and this just image, I mean, this memory came to my mind, and it's, I remember that I was sitting there in these two last pews with Brooke and with Kara. The three of us, we were there so pregnant, okay? And I saw that Kaylin was sitting there too. So after service, I said to her, Kaylin, be careful, because it looks that these two pews are dangerous. And now I see her. Now I see the result of sitting there. So ladies, be careful if you sit over there, just to let you know, okay? No, seriously, it's amazing to see family growing too, to see and Amanda there too. It's really neat to see also new faces here. It's a blessing to see what the Lord is doing here in Five Stones. And yeah, we feel like we're at home. Deanne said to us, welcome home. And this is how we feel. So thank you for being part of our family and for being part of the ministry that the Lord is doing in Spain, because you are part of that. Don't ever forget about that. Okay, we don't have a lot of minutes, so we're going to try to do our best. And then at Cindy's and Chad's house, we're going to have time there. And if you have any question or you just want to talk, we would love to. Okay, but we want to show you a little bit of what the Lord has been doing in Spain. And first of all, we want to give you some information about Spain. Spain is known as the cemetery of missionaries, okay? All Europe is known as the cemetery of missionaries. And this is because it's spiritually dark. So it's difficult. It's not easy. It's not easy to be there. We miss you a lot. We miss this community. And so to start again from zero, and we went to a new place where we didn't know any believer there, so it was like, okay, Lord, we're here because you sent us here, but this is tough. But at the same time, it's amazing to see how the Lord is moving. And we believe and we feel that we are in the place where the Lord wants us to be. So it's amazing just to see how he's opening doors in a dark place, but he's doing an amazing work there. And it's just beautiful to be part of that. I mean, it's not about us. It's about him. But it's just beautiful to see how he's using all of us to do his kingdom there in Spain. So if we can go to the first slide. This is a map that we used in our last PowerPoint. But this is just the distribution of the evangelicals, okay, Protestant and evangelicals in the world. And as you can see, Spain, there's less than 1% of evangelicals, okay? And this is from the 2000, but we're still the same. It didn't change. So less of 1% of the population in Spain attends to a Protestant or evangelical church. So if we can go to the second one, please. Yeah. Most of the people in Spain, they consider themselves Catholics. And I don't know if you know about this, but from 1938-39 till 1975, we had a dictatorship there in Spain. So you had to be Catholic. Okay, if you were evangelical or Protestant, you were going to prison. Okay? And just to let you know, I don't know if you heard a little bit about the situation in Catalonia, that this is where we live. You know that Catalonia wants to become independent from the rest of Spain. So we are just hanging on there, like, let's see what is going to happen. But also to let you know, I'm Catalan. I'm born in Catalonia. I'm Catalan. But just to let you know, this dictator, he didn't let Catalan people to speak their own language, okay? So we were not allowed to speak Catalan either. So if you were speaking Catalan, you were going to prison too. Just to let you know how the situation in Spain was. It was tough. You had to be Catholic. So most of the people in Spain, they still consider themselves Catholic, but the reality is that they don't attend to mass. They don't have any beliefs. You don't see any difference between them and atheists or agnostics. You don't see any difference. So it's just by name. Most of them is just by name. Some of them, they really have a close relationship with God, but it's mostly the minimum of them, okay? And where you see other religions, this is where the Protestant and Evangelical Church is in there, okay? And for example, the Islam, the followers of the Islam, it's bigger than the Evangelical Church in Spain, okay? Yeah, if we can go to the next one, thank you. Okay, that red, Jonathan, correct my English, please, if I say something, because they are looking at me like, I'm not sure if I understand her or not, but okay. That red dot over there at the map, this is where we live, okay? We are 1 hour south Barcelona. And so that's our, ¿cómo lo dirías eso, Jonah? The picture at the right, this is the area where we live. Our town is called Sant Jaume dels Domenys. I don't know if you see it in the map. Sant Jaume dels Domenys. So these four red dots, these are the four evangelical churches that there are in our area. Okay, so we have a population there of 100,000 people, and we have four churches. And the biggest church there is like 70 people. That's the biggest one. So this is our reality. So and the one that is close to us, it's a Romanian church. So everything is in Romanian. So we attended there once, and it was beautiful, but they're not going to reach the Catalan population or Spanish population. So we need to drive like 25 minutes to get to the closest church to our area. So there's no churches there around us, no believers when we arrived there. So it was like, okay, let's see what the Lord wants to do here. So one of the things that happened then is that we started ministry there. We started ministry at home. And then the Lord put in our heart to start meeting as a church at home. So we were like, well, this is not our call. But this is what we felt that we had to do. Because so we started just getting to know some believers from the area. Most of them, they were not attending any church because they have been so wounded in church. So they were like, why don't you start something here? And we start praying about that, and we were like, okay, let's do it. You can go to the next one. Thank you. So this is more or less the group of people that we are meeting at home. It's last October we went to live to this town. We were the only believers there. Right now we are three Christian families living there, and another one that they are planning to move. So it's just amazing to see what the Lord is doing there. And as we said, it's not our call to plant a church, but the Lord has been amazing, and he just put in a family's heart to be the leaders of this church. So if you can see the couple back, at the right and at the back, that's Edith's sister. I don't know if that's Olga, Edith's sister. Most of you know her because she has been here. She has been here 2 years too, and her husband and their little son Paul, that he's 5 years old. They are gonna be, or they are the pastors already of the little community that we are building there. And right now they are meeting in our house there. So we are here and they are there. So it's amazing to see how the Lord is just doing His job already. So, yeah, if you can go to the next slide. This is at home, meeting. That's our living room. And as you can see, we don't fit. And so that's why we're planning to look for a place already, because we cannot open it for people yet, just because we don't have room. We are using our bedrooms as the Sunday school classes. So it's time to look for a place. Yeah, so you can go to the next one. Okay.
So there's not only a lack of or a lack for church communities, but there's I would say even a bigger need for renewal in churches. a lot of doors have opened for us to be involved and in touch with church leaders, denominations, and leaders have expressed that some churches are dying or need that restoration and that renovation. What we've heard about, and we have the privilege to work with a ministry that really focuses on that. And a couple of days ago, when we arrived here in Ashland, it was dark and rainy, and the atmosphere was not very cozy with all the Halloween decoration, and it doesn't transmit light, you know. It doesn't give you a feeling of, oh wow, God's kingdom is present. And this morning, when the sun came up and there were no clouds for a little bit, and it brought more light into the house where we're staying, it warmed my heart. And it changes your perspective, doesn't it? And that change of perspective of how we can see the same thing in a different way is really what we try to do as a ministry. So we want to position people so that they can hear from God. And hear what? Hear who they really are in God's eyes and experience that. So we don't only want to change their perspectives of how they see themselves, but we want to change their perspectives of how they see God. You know, we can see God in many different ways. And so, yeah, you can go to the next slide. There's this long phrase about, and basically it says that we often as Christians don't live what we preach. And I think we can all say that many times we don't live what we preach. I mean, that's just the fact, you know. So that can lead us to frustration, or it can lead us to say, I need God's Spirit to work in me to be able to walk the path, you know. So personally, we have noticed that shift in our life where we have seen who... He likes the attention. So about 6 years ago, we went to a very deep transformation in our marriage, and some of you know that. And a part of the reason why we came to Ashland was to get trained, because we wanted to help people the way we received help. So we... instead of being frustrated with our own lives of not being able to hit the mark where we wanted to be, we learned to see ourselves through God's eyes, and that brought deep transformation in us. And it's a small change in perspective, and if you can see yourself that way, it's just a lot easier to be in God's presence and be aware of that. And when you are in God's presence and you're aware of who he is, then you can also see other people through God's eyes. And you can see that God works in other people as well. And you can long for God's work in other people. And that it makes life just a lot easier. It makes Christian life just more heaven on earth, you know? So, search me, God. Know my heart. Help me to know myself better. Help me so that I can get to know myself better. That's what we want to do. Because if I can get to know myself better, I can see what he wants to do in me and what he can do in me. You can go to the next slide. Basically, our vision is to train people to do the same as what we are doing, to help people change their perspectives. And we don't do evangelism, but we found out that we can position non-Christian people to change their perspective as well. And in this year, we have been able to position several people to hear from God. And through that, they come into an encounter with God and make a decision to follow God. So it can be a tool of evangelism. Sometimes we like to use the term inner healing, but that can have different connotations. But really what we want is that people can see their true self, see who they really are, and that they can be healed in that sense and see really who they are. And non-believers also need to see who they are in God's eyes. They're God's creation, you know? So we long to see God's glory in their lives, and we long for them to see that God can restore them. Okay, you can go to the next slide. So by reaching that vision of training people to do the same thing through spiritual direction, through inner healing, we use the material of the organization that is called Healing Care Mandate International. And it's founded by Terry Wardle with influence of a lot of people. So there's a big team behind that, you know, that that helps to empower Christians for a journey, to help caregivers, to help those in need, and position the broken for healing encounters in Christ. I said it in a different way. It's also a prayer ministry where the practice of listening to God's people and God's Spirit is fundamental. If we don't learn how to listen to people, we don't know what their needs are. So we need to listen to the people, and we need to listen to God so that we know what the people need from God. You know, and the people need to hear from God what they need. So in reality, it's you take the position of a facilitator so that the relation between the person and God can improve. That's basically what we try to do. And raise the awareness of the fact that God is omnipresent, so we help people to practice his presence, to change their perspective. Life is hard, can be a rainy day, but the sun is there. God is there. God is present. And if my awareness of that can be raised, then the restoration in me will continue, and the transformation will continue. Okay, next slide. So how do we do this? First of all, we've tried to build a lot of relationships with family, church leaders, churches. We've used small group curriculums, seminars, retreats, individual sessions for spiritual direction, and to raise awareness. The main thing is to raise awareness. Okay, next slide. Are we reaching the goal? Gemma, are you going to continue this? Yeah? Okay. So that's a question. We have a vision. We have a goal. Are we getting there? Is it efficient? Are we effective in what we're doing? And I think we are, because you can go to the next slide. In this next videos, you will hear some testimonies of people that went to an intensive retreat. And let's listen to them and then focus in on one lady's testimony.
This week has been amazing. God has shown me so many things about myself, but one of the biggest things, he showed me the root of my problem, and that it went all the way back even to my birth. And he's taken that out and planted a new plant in me. So I really feel like I have had a rebirth, and I'm now excited to go on and to continue practicing being in God's presence, being filled with him, and then being able to go and share that with others.
I would say that I have discovered a new way to communicate with God, different options, different ways to be myself with him, and to respect what I feel with him and how he feel with me.
Yo llegué con una carga muy pesada y una sensación de culpa que me acompañó 4 años y medio, y yo lo veía imposible. Y sin embargo hice el curso y realmente el Señor utilizó a las personas que lo llevaban para poder tener esa libertad y me voy libre.
I've been feeling a little bit burnt out, kind of have having a hard time expressing emotions and being able to really connect with the Lord in a real and deep way. Through this experience, I really have experienced God's presence in such a new way, and the way that He has revealed things that were keeping me from being able to fully live freely right now.
Pues yo venía bastante cerrada en cuanto a mis emociones, más como una piedra, ¿no? Podríamos decir. Y ahora pues el Señor ha roto algo en mí y ha quebrado algo, y ahora puedo conectar con mis emociones y el Señor está haciendo, ha empezado a hacer una obra que espero poder seguir.
And God just spoke to me in incredible ways this week, even just in the first session. God gave me a beautiful image of who He saw me as, and I'm so grateful for this time that I've had here. I've been changed, and now I really feel God's presence with me.
I was aware of certain dysfunctional attitudes that I had, but I didn't know how deep they actually went into my past. So working through past moments, being able to identify emotions and how they still play a role in my everyday life, I think digging those up, working through those, and then having the tools to keep working with those emotions after this camp, I think it's not just a benefit during the week, but also a benefit for all of your Christian life.
I was ashamed of, like, different things, and it was all of them lies. So now I feel like I can help others much better. It's just a journey, so it started here, and God will do much more things.
Yo creo que todo cristiano debería hacer este curso para poder llegar a tener la libertad en Cristo y poder tener esa vida abundante.
I came during a dry season in my life, and God has worked in just incredible ways. So this has been such a blessing. I want to thank you for supporting this ministry and making it possible for this to happen here in Spain. I've been here many years, and I want to tell you that the church here in Spain needs this ministry. So thank you very much for your support.
Well, these are the testimonies of some of the people that we had, some of the leaders and pastors that we had in the Inner Healing Retreat this last August. The truth is that it was just amazing to see the Lord moving and acting in their lives. So as you can see, half of them at least are American. So American missionaries, that they are in Spain, but they are also feeling in a dry season in their lives. Why? Because the environment, it's tough. So, and as Betsy said, the last testimony, yeah, Jonathan, yeah, if you can put the, yeah, that's what she said. She says, thank you for supporting this ministry. So just to let you know, you are making this possible. You are making this possible to happen. So thank you so much for everything that you are doing. Thank you so much. Yeah, if you want to go to the next one? Okay, so these are some of the things that we have done during this last year. We did 4 inner healing groups at home. We have done the inner healing retreat. We are doing a spiritual direction with some pastors and leaders, like once a month at home. They come and we have these individual sessions with them. What else? Well, a lot of meetings with people, a lot of people coming home. It's really interesting because a lot of people said to us, oh, you are living 1 hour south of Barcelona. That's far away from everything. No one is going to come there to see you or to do ministry. And the truth is that we don't stop having people at home. So we are glad that we are 1 hour far away from where most of the churches are. So it's really interesting to see how thirsty the people is and how they really want this change in their lives. So it's amazing to see just people coming and, yeah, and spending time with us and with God. And yeah, right now we are three trained caregivers, and we are working now with a group of 20 of them that they have gone through this process, and they want to start teaching this in their churches and ministries. So we have started doing some seminars with them already and doing more training with them. So yeah, you can go to the next one. Okay, the two pictures at the right, these are two of the inner healing groups that we had at home. And well, just having time with them, lunch, and yeah. The picture up there at the left, that's the inner healing retreat that we did. It was Jonathan's birthday, so we celebrated there with all of them. You can see the man that is at the right and sitting almost on the floor. That's my dad. He was the cook. And my mom is one at the right, at the left. That's my mom. Both of them, they were cooking for all the group. And you know Brie, that it's in front of my mom because she was here 3 months with us. So she was taking care of our kids while we were teaching them. So it was just family where just came together and it's like, let's make this possible. So all of them, we really needed them to do this. So it was amazing to do this together. And the picture down there is a training day that we did with the people that they want to receive more training and they want to do this in their churches. So yeah, two of the ladies, they drove 6 hours to spend a day with us, a training day with us, and then going back home. Because they had to do ministry on Sunday, and we did the training on Saturday, and they had to do ministry on Sunday in the churches. So they drove 6 hours and then did the training and went back. So that speaks to us also about the need that there is for leadership to be with God. Yeah. Yeah, if you can go to the next one. Yeah, thank you. So we are going to continue in this direction, but also there are new doors that they are opening already. There's a mission, it's called European Christian Mission. They plant churches, that's their ministry, their goal, to plant churches in all Europe. So we are part of that mission in Spain, and they have asked us also to they want to see what can we do for the missionaries. So some of them, they have gone through the 16 weeks or the inner healing retreat with us. So And they are asking us to be from the team of the member care for the European missionaries. So the Lord is opening doors already in Europe for this to happen, not just in Spain. Also, there's a movement that it's about church planting in Spain, and they also want us to be involved with that, for the people that they want to start planting churches. So they want us to be part of that process too. And yeah, some of the Christians, they have shown interest about this in Holland, in Netherlands, in Germany too. We have people already. So we are like, okay, God, what are you going to do there? What do you want to do? So we are just praying and just let's see what the Lord wants to do there too. Yep. So we can go to the next one. So the picture up there at the left, that's the missionary group from this mission in Spain. The one at the right is all the missionaries from this European mission, okay? All of these are missionaries that they work in Europe, planting churches. So this is the mission that they have asked us to be part of the member care team. And the pictures down there, it's pictures of meetings that we have had with this church planting that they are doing in Spain. So we are part of that happening too. So there are several things that we are doing at the same time. Yeah. Yeah. Next one, Jonathan. Thank you. Okay, this is two of our needs. And first of all, we want to thank you again for everything you are doing for us, because without you, that will not be possible. So you know that you are part of everything that is happening there. But the Lord is moving faster than what we expected. And as we told you, we need to start looking for a place to do ministry and to start a church. We want to be a light, like a lighthouse in that dark area that we are living. So this is something that we think that's the amount of money that we need to raise. So as you can see, if the Lord puts in your heart that this is something that you need to do, just you can come and talk to us. it's, I mean, a lot of the families here, you are being part of this already, so thank you for everything you are doing. But if there's people that they just feel like, I want to be part of this, so just, you can come and speak to us, okay? We don't have our brochures yet ready, and we don't, but it's okay. This is family, so not a problem. And we need prayer warriors. We really need that. We really need that. We need people to be praying. And we can tell you that when you pray, we feel it there. We feel it. We sense the spiritual warfare, and we feel when people is praying. So please keep doing that. Don't stop praying for us, because we need it. We need that. Yep. And I think that's, yeah, just as we said, if you feel that this is something that you need to do, just please come and talk to us about this, okay? That's a verse that the Lord has been spoken to us through that verse in the last 5-6 years of our life. So, and I think that's all. Yes, it is. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Chapter 4, Restoration. The longest and best chapter. It's the chapter we're in now. And our friends, their family, the people they're in community with there are in the midst of living into that story. On behalf of the kingdom of heaven, on behalf of the ministry of this church that loves and supports them, could you come back up? Can we just pray for you guys again as a congregation? And just bless you. Of course, some exciting things going on there. My heart and my passion has long been in extending this restoring work of God into communities where the church isn't through church planting. And so I am really excited about what's going on there, and really excited about the spiritual and emotional freedom that is coming into people's lives, this restoration of dignity and purpose and intimacy that comes through the work of the healing care ministries and the formational prayer that you guys are doing. So we want to bless you, and we want to pray for you now in the name of Jesus. Jehová, Señor de los cielos, gloriosa sea tu nombre. Nada imposible con ti. Father, we bless this family in your name, in the name of the restoring King, in the name of the one who calls his people not to be sent as employees or as pawns on the chessboard, but as beloved sons and daughters, carrying the image and the power and the authority of the King with them. So God, we trust this family to you one more time. It is our privilege to do so. We trust their hearts to you one more time, that your restoring work would continue in them, that they would be able to give the comfort that they have received to others. God, that would be their bedrock foundational motivation to give the comfort and restoration that you have given to them, to others that they see who are also made in your image, created, Lord, with your bare hands. God, may you place within them a burning desire, God, to live into the dream that you have for them and for all of creation, that this restoring work, God, that they would see it with their own eyes, that they would see it both in the Catalan region, but also all of Europe and everywhere else, God, that you send your spirit ahead of them. God, we pray for financial provision, Lord, that you would just take care of this. Lord, that you would direct their paths in wisdom and how to spend these resources. God, we pray for wisdom, Lord, as they gather people around them, as you gather people around them, wisdom to know how to live together in your name. Lord, to form this community of intimacy and restoration. God, we pray all of this blessing and protection on their family, on their heads and their hearts, that they would not be discouraged in that dry place. Lord, that you would just continue to be an endless stream in the desert there. Lord, in their lives and through their lives, we pray this in the name of Jesus.